Right, well, joining me now is a former Sheffield Wednesday, a former Leeds United, Norwich City, Bolton Wanderers player, John Newsome. First of all, John, how are you doing today?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Very good.
So, John, first of all, we're going to go back. We're going to look at your career. And just what did it mean when you joined Sheffield Wednesday? Obviously, a lad from Sheffield. Just how proud were you to get a couple of appearances during that first spell?
Yeah, I mean, it's every boy's dream, isn't it? It was my dream from being probably 6, 7 years of age. And I was lucky enough to get taken down to the football club and invited down there when I was about 12 years of age. I managed to make my way through, you know, as an apprentice, and then I got a professional contract and made my debut quite early in that. And as I said, it's every boy's dream to play for the team that they've supported as a lad, I suppose.
And obviously, I mean, you must be looking at Sheffield Wednesday at that time and thinking, you know, really pinching yourself, thinking, I can't believe that I'm playing for the team that I've been watching.
Yeah, I mean, you do, but, you know, it's a very long process to get from, you know, sitting on the stand or in the stands or standing on the cop and you know, working your way through. And every year seems to be a bigger year than the previous year. That's the thing I think about young players coming through in football. You're trying to get, I think, a scholarship now, whereas, you know, we were after apprenticeships or even a YTS. You managed to achieve that, and then all of a sudden there's probably a dozen of you who are all vying to try and get a professional contract. So the next year is a really important year, and it just goes on and on and on like that, and becomes more and more intense. And I think it's just a natural progression that, you know, you get to some point that if you are lucky enough and good enough to get to that standard, you know, you get given your opportunity, and the last thing you want to do is let yourself down. You don't want to let your club down. You don't want to let your family down. So, you know, you've got to go in there and continue with what's actually got you there. But yeah, I mean, you know, I look back now and you know, it was an amazing journey for myself, and I'm sure most players will look back and think the same thing. And just delighted and very proud to be able to say that, you know, I did play for my home club as well as other clubs as well, and I'm very, very fortunate to have the career that I had.
And moving on to another club, you moved to Leeds United. Just how did that move come about?
Well, I'd done 2 years professional at Sheffield Wednesday, and I felt that although I'd made my debut early in my first year, I was given sort of like an extra year's contract. I didn't feel that I was getting given an opportunity to play, really. For the second year, I don't think I ever made a squad, never mind being in contention to play, until the very, very last game of the season. And we played Oldham away, and quite surprisingly, I was put into the squad, and then even more surprisingly, I played in the game. My contract was up, like there were a few younger players' contracts up, and I went, you know, went into see Ron Atkinson at the time, who was the manager, who offered me a new contract, and I turned it down. I just said to him, you know, it's not about money, it's not about, you know, me really wanting to leave the football club, but what I want to do is I want to play football on a Saturday afternoon. I want to go to a club that I feel like I've got an opportunity. And that didn't go down too well with him, I don't think. And I turned my contract down and just sat and waited. And luckily enough, within about 24 hours, I got contacted by Michael Ennigan, who was Howard's number two at the time, invited up to Leeds, which I obviously made the journey up there and sat and talked with Howard and Mick, and was just delighted to sign, and the rest is history, I suppose, is how they say, isn't it?
I was going to say you had plenty of success and also a Premier League winners medal as well, which must mean a lot to you.
Yeah, I mean, fabulous year, first year there. Unfortunately, I actually got a knee injury during pre-season, and I was out for a good two, three, four months, really. They couldn't diagnose what the issue was, but finally got fit and, you know, broke into the first team in a couple of cup matches. And then, unfortunately, for Mel Sterling, he got a bad ankle injury and I was thrown in at right back, and I managed to play, you know, a handful, 10 games or something towards the end of the season. And, you know, on the running and managed to be part of all that celebration and winning the championship, which was just, you know, beyond my wildest dreams. You know, if I'd gone back 12 months and driving up the M1 to have discussions about, you know, whether I was going to be offered a contract and to then actually be in a championship winning team with such fabulous footballers, you know, the team that we had at the time. So yeah, it was like a dream come true.
And then obviously after Leeds, Norwich City catch your attention, and they were willing to pay £1 million for your services. And I mean, did that add any pressure to you? Because obviously at that time especially, it was a lot of money.
Yeah, it was. I mean, yet again, really, Howard pulled me in during the summer and just said, you know, we've had an offer from Norwich. We've accepted it. Do you want to go and have talks? I'm buying another centre-half. To me, the writing was on the wall there. So off I trotted down to Norfolk and had talks, and we agreed on a contract, and I was happy to sign. And it was only in the press conference that somebody asked me the question about, you know, what do you think about the fee? And I, to that moment, I had no idea what the fee was. And then when obviously somebody told me, well, it's £1 million. My opinion was it's a fee between the two football clubs, isn't it? You know, I've been bought, whether it had been 100 grand or £1 million. You know, the football clubs invested in me and invested, you know, good money into me, and it was for me to go down there and give them my best. And I'd like to think, you know, that's what I did, really.
And then, obviously, after Norwich, you get the chance to return to Sheffield Wednesday. And I know when you left Norwich, a lot of Norwich fans were very angry that you were leaving because you were liked so much there. Just how did it feel to know that a club really wanted to keep you in terms of the fans, but also the fact that you were going back home?
Yeah, it was a difficult period, really, because we got relegated in my first year, and I'd been approached by a couple of clubs. And Norwich had said, we don't want to sell you. We want you to stay, and we want to, you know, have a go at getting promotion back next year. So I was happy to do that because I loved it. I loved it down there. I enjoyed the club. I enjoyed the people. I thought we got a good opportunity to bounce straight back. Unfortunately, behind the scenes, the club was struggling, I think, financially, and ended up selling off a couple of players through the season, and it got down to nearly deadline day, and I was informed that, you know, the club needed to sell at least one, if not two, players, and I was going to be earmarked as one of those because, you know, they could get some decent money for me at the time, so there was a bit of a squabble over a couple of days, really, with a couple of different clubs who I think were interested. But obviously, when I were, you know, was informed that Sheffield Wednesday were showing an interest, my ears pricked up to come back and play your hometown club, you know, for the second time, and hopefully, you know, get more of an opportunity than I did on the first in the first period. So when that was all sorted out and you know, the fee was paid and a contract was agreed, etc., I was delighted to come back and give it another shot.
And out of them two spells you had at Wednesday, obviously during the first spell you only made a couple of appearances, and during the second you made a lot more. But which one did you enjoy more?
Difficult. Two very, very different football clubs, really. Although obviously it was the same club, they were in very, very different places from the one that I left to one that I joined. The one that I joined had a couple of good seasons, really. But when I arrived there, they were a team in transition, really. The manager at the time, David Pleat, was trying to get a number of experienced players out of the door. Which I was unaware of at the time, if I'm honest. And And you know, I don't think it really worked out for him what he was trying to do. So, although I loved coming back and playing and playing, you know, at the top flight, it was a difficult period at times, if I'm honest.
And then obviously you ended your playing career with that small loan spell at Bolton Wanderers. But by that point, though, had you already put plans in place for life after football?
No, not at all. Not at all. I was still in my late 20s, if I'm honest with you. Again, was being frustrated by not being given an opportunity at the club. Manager Danny Wilson at the time was telling me that he didn't want me to leave. He wanted me to stay. I was an integral part of the club. But I wasn't playing football matches. I wasn't playing in the first team. The reserve games, I was hardly ever given the opportunity to go and play. And it was a really, really frustrating time, if I'm honest. And he then agreed to let me go out on loan, which I felt like I played really well when I went to Bolton. And Bolton were interested in signing me, but yet again, he wouldn't let me leave. And it culminated in me actually asking for a transfer. And unfortunately, that was in the week that preceded the Newcastle away game, which is where I injured my knee, which I thought was just an innocuous injury, really, nothing too serious. But it turned out that it was quite a serious injury and finished my career. And you know, I just turned 30 years of age, so for all I got my eye on. Possibly, you know, going into coaching and managing and that kind of thing, you know, in later years, you know, I really wanted to carry on playing for, you know, a good 4, 5, 6 years further on than when it was sort of like taken from under me, really.
And just how frustrating was it to know that you wanted to continue playing on, but your body just wouldn't let you?
Yeah, that was it. You know, damage to my right knee and... At first, they thought that they could repair it, but it's known now. I actually had surgery 2 or 3 years ago, again on the knee, and was informed that the procedures that they did back in the day to try and rectify it, they now know don't work anyway. So, and to this day, there's still nothing that can repair the injury that I sustained. So. Yeah, really frustrating and a devastating blow, really, that, you know, when you're sort of in your prime of your life, you know, late 20s, early 30s, and you're looking to go and have a sort of like, you know, a nice end to your career and possibly play, you know, plenty of games and pass on your experience to younger players who are coming through. And, you know, I really enjoyed that side of the game, and then for that suddenly to be taken away from you is you know, it takes a bit of time for you to get your head around it, really.
And so now you actually own a car company, and I was wondering, you know, how did this happen? Was it a case that maybe you've spoken to other players and decided to go down that route, or was it just
no,
by
not
chance?
At all. No, not at all. It was just a pure coincidence, really, that next door neighbour was a motor dealer, and I'd come out of football. I was currently managing a semi-pro team down in the Midlands, but unfortunately, my sort of like personal circumstances with like getting divorced and having young children, that kind of thing, meant that it was really difficult to stay in football and be a single father, really. So I needed to do something else. And it, like I say, it was just a bit of a coincidence, really, that this good friend of mine suggested that we started doing something together. And it's worked all right for me. It's been flexible enough for me to be there for my children as they've grown up. And, you know, I've enjoyed doing what I've done. But you know, it doesn't replace football or being in and around football in any way, shape or form, if I'm honest.
Is it a case, though, that if someone was to say, right now, I want you to, you know, join us as a scout, maybe, as a coach, would you be tempted at all, or do you feel that period of the career is gone?
I don't know. I don't think you can ever say never. If I'm honest with you, you know, I do go down to the games. I go down to Hillsborough quite regularly, and I love, you know, I love going to matches. Love football. It's in my blood. It's been in my blood all my life, really. And you know, to not be involved is you know, sometimes difficult, but that's the way that, you know, you have to play with the hand that you dealt with. So I could never say never. I don't, you know, I'd always be interested in being involved in football, and I think giving something back as well. You know, that's the one thing that I really enjoyed when I was doing my coaching badges and working in the academy, that kind of thing, and helping young players and seeing them thrive and learn from you and pass on that, you know, that knowledge and that experience that luckily enough I gained through an half decent career.
Well, moving on now, you've mentioned Hillsborough, and I think we've got to talk about just what's going on at Sheffield Wednesday at the minute, because an incredible night beating Arsenal. And do you feel that this is a side which is on the rise and could be in the Premier League sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, the club's doing an excellent job. The chairman's come in, Mr. Chancery, and put his money where his mouth is, and he's invested heavily into the football club. And things have really taken a turn for the good over the last month or so, culminating in Tuesday's victory, which was a fabulous evening. And I just hope that, you know, we've got a big game on Saturday against Nottingham Forest, and then another big game next Tuesday against Brighton. And they're really the tough games that the club have got to concentrate on, and hopefully, you know, we'll get something out of both of those games.
And looking at, you know, getting in someone like Gary Hooper, that must give the whole squad a big boost, because he obviously is a big-name striker.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, you know, the chairman's put his money where his mouth is, really. And I think with him experiencing, you know, Mr. Chancery will have never experienced anything like he experienced on Tuesday night. And I've spoken to a few people, and neither would have a lot of the younger supporters who went to Hillsborough on Tuesday. So it gives them a taste of what can happen and what could possibly, you know, be on the horizon if they could get promotion into that Premier League. And don't get me wrong, that is where you want to be. That's where the football club, any football club, wants to be. Because, you know, nights and Saturday afternoons like that, where you've got big clubs, Arsenal, Man United, Man City, Chelsea, people like that coming to town, the whole city has a buzz about it. So yeah, you know, it was a really positive result for Sheffield Wednesday. But I think surrounding that was also, you know, the positivity on the night, which probably just angles a bit of a carrot for Mr. Chancery.
And looking at the impact that the manager Carlos Carvajal has made, it's been quite a positive one, hasn't it, so far? And speaking right now, it's 8 games without a loss. That kind of run, that kind of momentum can only help the squad move forward.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've got to be honest with you, when I went down to Hillsborough the first 2 or 3 games, and there were a few question marks about the way that they were playing and the formation, but I'll take my hat off to him. He's rotated the squad. He's changed the team from game to game. Everybody seems to be buying into what he wants them to do, and it looks, the football club and the players look like they're all enjoying it. They all believe in what they're doing, and they're full of confidence. And I think that is the biggest thing that I can see, that they've got a massive amount of confidence at the moment. And that wins you football games and breeds good performances. So yeah, no, I applaud him. He's done a really, really good job so far. But, you know, it's still early doors, early in the season. And I don't want, you know, hopefully nobody will get carried away. It's a long, long season. And we just hope that we're there and thereabouts at the end of it.
And moving on then from a Championship side you've played for that are doing rather well at the minute to a Championship side you've played for that maybe you could argue are struggling at this moment in time, Leeds United. I mean, just what have you made of the changes that Massimo Cellino has made in the last couple of months?
I think it's. I mean, we've said for a while it's becoming farcical, isn't it? And you know, the time and history has proven that constantly changing managers, having off-field issues with chairman and board directors and that kind of thing doesn't make for a good quality squad and good team performances on the pitch. And it, you know, I don't care what anybody says, it does affect people. It does affect the players most definitely. And it's just sad to see because, you know, I had a great time at Leeds United. You know, I've got a very, big soft spot for them. Loved my time up there. Enjoyed the city. Enjoyed the people. You know, it's just sad, you know, really, really sad to see at the moment.
And, of course, looking at Leeds United and the form they're under, I mean, if you were trying to, could you explain why Leeds United just simply can't win at home at the minute?
I touched on it with Sheffield Wednesday. It's a confidence thing. You know, it's a confidence thing. You know, luckily, you know, when I was there, Elland Road was a fortress. You know, people clubs hated coming to Elland Road because it was a you know, really, really difficult place to come and play football. And Leeds fans are very demanding, and rightly so. They should be. You know, they pay good money. They want the club to be up, winning trophies or challenging for trophies, not languishing at the bottom of the Championship. So, unfortunately, with that, if the team's not playing so well, they start conceding goals, which is quite easily done when the confidence is low. The players get on, supporters get on the players' backs or get onto the chairman's back. They voice their anger and their disagreement. And it becomes a very, very difficult place for the home team to go out and perform.
And so looking at both sides now, would you say that this time next year you'd be expecting them both to still be in the Championship, or are you thinking that Sheffield Wednesday might be gaining promotion this year?
I think it's a big ask for Sheffield Wednesday to gain promotion this year. You know, I think people have got to keep their feet on the ground. And, yeah, they've had a great run. The start of the season wasn't too good. He's turned it around and they've been on a very good run now. Can they sustain that and keep that momentum going and keep that confidence going through the winter months, you know, the Christmas period? That's when the real, you know, the big questions start being asked about the squad. Thankfully, they've got a very big squad, and rotating players and keeping everybody happy will probably be a big advantage to him over the coming months. But, you know, at the start of the season, if somebody had said to most Sheffield Wednesday fans, you know, a playoff position, I think they'd have taken that. So you know, I don't see how you can change where you're looking at, really, because of the last couple of months and you know how well they've done. I think, you've got to keep your feet on the ground and really just see how we get on. If they can get into a promotion spot, fantastic. But you know, I think take one game at a time.
And John, just finally then, just going to do some quick fire questions and answers. So I'm going to start now then. Who is the best player you played with?
Oh, best player I played with? Oh, goodness me, there's an endless list. Luckily enough to play with lads like, you know, Gary McAllister, Gary Speed, David Batty, Eric Cantona, Gordon Strachan, Paolo Di Canio, Benito Carboni, some fabulous players who I was very, very fortunate to play with.
Who's the best player you faced?
Best player I faced was probably Gabriel Batistuta in a friendly in Italy when I was playing for Leeds.
Which is the ground you enjoyed playing at most?
Poof. Probably old Wembley Stadium. I only ever got there once, playing in the Charity Shield, and to actually play at Wembley, I obviously was a boyhood dream.
Which club would you have liked to have joined for the clubs that you've already been at? Which club that you never went to was the one where you wanted to go to them?
No, I can't say there was really. I can't say there was a. You know, I was happy where I was. No, I couldn't say there was a club. I played for the club I wanted to play for. You know, as a kid, and that was Sheffield Wednesday, which we've touched on.
Who was your best friend while you were playing football?
Within football or outside of football?
Within
football. Difficult again, really, because, you know, as you move around, you've got different pals and that kind of thing. You know, good mates with Gary Speedman up at Leeds. John Pemberton when I was at Leeds, yeah. Brian Gunn when I was down at Norwich was a good pal of mine who I still keep in touch with, and then a few of the Sheffield Wednesday lads, you know, Ersty and people like that. So difficult to pinpoint one, really.
Finally, I think I know what the answer will be, but I'll ask it anyway. Out of all the clubs that you played for, which one did you enjoy playing for most?
Probably Norwich City. Yeah. I played my best football for Norwich City and had probably my most enjoyable couple of years in as a professional footballer down there. So, yeah, I would say Norwich City.
Well, John, I really do appreciate your time today. Thank you for talking to me.